All right, everyone. If you'd care to unmute and maybe even bring your images back up, if you'd like to be seen and share with everyone who you are. And so now is the time. I'm opening up the field. Excuse me. Two questions. If you would like to go from there. Jean, I see your hand raised.
I felt a connection to what you said about the so much information coming and the involvement of the sixth and seventh chakras. And my question is, I have been having migraines a lot in the past month or two. I mean, they feel like they're ramping up. And I was wondering if that was connected to this frequency situation.
Absolutely. Migraines are a common response from the, especially the pituitary gland, to stress. The pituitary gland is often, you know, connected with the energy of the goal of growth. When the auditory parts of the brain are trying to deal with higher frequencies, literally because it can sound like a pitch, you know, that sometimes you can get auditory hallucination with migraines or ringing of the ears, tinnitus, and that sort of thing. Sometimes, you know, Zoom is all of a sudden we're looking at someone and they move on the screen and you just did. I'll put this in speaker view, I think, so we can make, there we go. Anyway, looking at you also, Jean, there is a number of the instinctive question that you are reviewing in your life and in your house or in your world, as it were. Let's see, it looks like we have two new participants. Okay, sorry about that. Someone got distracted. It looks like one of the things that you are evaluating on a deep level philosophically is, you know, the loss of and rearrangement of family. There's a contraction that you're undergoing to that of your daughter and your husband. It's basically, you know, your core unit. And that feels you're debating upon whether or not your, for instance, not just your sisters, but a shift away from what your tribe is. And, you know, one of the reasons that this year has all of a sudden been such a big and important thing for you relative to coming into this Michael community is you've been looking for that tribe and you've needed something to re-anchor. But because of the fact that you can do, you know, that you often get, you know, anxiety, overwhelmed so easily. And the fact that what it can also mean for you is faintness, feeling fainted. One of the ways that you can tell when you've reached a processing limit is when you feel woozy, when you feel faint, whether sitting, standing, it doesn't matter. So in any case, your instinctive process is, again, is about re-anchoring into, you know, who are the connections that you consider crucial to your well-being, not your survival, mind you, your well-being.
Thank you.
Certainly. Michael Squills, I believe you're next, and then Judy Taylor after you. Yes, Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, so I also put my question into chat, and it is the Schumann resonance just a temporary blip, or is it increasing ongoing as a result of planetary evolution? And is global warming just a nasty human accident, or is it actually associated with frequency increase at the planetary level?
Climate change it happens all the time, but this climate event has been stirred by the rapid evolutionary activities of the human species. no other species in the history of this planet has ever done so much to change, you know, the literally the geophysical circumstances, the atmosphere, the landforms, the balance of species, all of it. So no, it is human created, and it was one of humanity's choices, and it is one of humanity's greatest hurdles to choose whether or not it's going to choose to recognize that its own actions were literally the motivating force for, you know, this this complete change of the playground, and what it can do to then create a playground that it either harmonizes with or continues to tear the planet apart, in order to, you know, sustain its hierarchical animal nature. You see, you can say it this way, Michael, that it wasn't, that it was, it is the Homo sapiens animal drives of consumption, conquest, aggression, and territorial expansion by virtue of reproduction that literally have taken humanity to this point. Because you all are animals. You know, you are, your animal body is Homo sapiens. When essence decided to ensoul humanity with a human consciousness, you then had the parallel race between essence and essence and personality, or should we say essence and animal, I suppose. And if you will, all of the activity of invention and everything literally started happening when humanity first became ensouled at the infant soul period, and then it started, you know, tool development, and then when it moved into the baby soul era, it became, it went from hunter-gatherers into agriculture, and agriculture, the development into more sophisticated tools and city-states, into the early young, and then from the early young into first mechanical devices, and then into electronic, and now where you have, you know, into the digital era. That was all spurred by consciousness entering into the animal body. But now consciousness and the animal body are in a fight. You could say that's what that's one of the ways to characterize the evolution from the young baby soul, or what we call the dominance aggression model, into the conscious awareness or mature and old soul paradigm, is that you have to make decisions from essence, and what essence collectively, or if the sheer number of essences on this planet are going to get together and say, okay, we realize we are at cause. Even the Schumann resonance, which has its own cycles, has been in part aggravating the circumstances, and then human habitation and its speed of processing has in turn created a feedback loop into the planet. You know, the Schumann resonance rises and falls and has during the course of the entire 4.5 billion years the Earth has been, you know, existing. When the Earth hardens, you know, during geologic downtimes, and then flourishes on the surface, and then it gets more geologically active, the Schumann resonance increases, and et cetera. That is Gaia's, or the Earth consciousness' own evolutionary track. When humans got here, it represented another layer of active consciousness, of active creator interacting with the Earth, being able to use the Earth, transform the Earth outside of Earth's own, if you will, natural ways, which would be erosion and, various kinds, and volcanic activity, et cetera. And when it did that, then man became, man, meaning, you know, the maleness driven part of the masculine energy, in that expansionary arc of the last 10,000 years, and then really amplified in the last 300. That has all pushed this, but the Schumann resonance has been increasing over the last several years, but in this last 2 years, because of the combined We talked about eco anxiety that people are feeling and therefore generating anxiety. And also, you have to realize the ecology itself, animals throughout the world are under tremendous stress. And they have chakras too that resonate energy. And they are putting out higher stress and more than just the balance of nature, you know, of hunter and hunted, way more than that. We're talking about entire species, morphogenic fields resonating in panic and fear because the world is becoming more toxic. The world is becoming more inhospitable. And all of that helps to push up the upper end of the Schumann resonance field. Does that answer your question, or at least start getting into some of it?
Yeah, and just briefly then, so global warming is not a necessary consequence of the evolutionary cycle of the planet.
No, it isn't. Global warming is, in the way that it's happening now, is not a necessary aspect of the planet. Global warming is a consequence of human evolution activities, which have so imbalanced the geochemistry. Because otherwise, climate change happens all the time, but at a much slower rate. So, all right. Is that complete, Michael? Good. All right.
Yep.
Did you tell you your hand is up? Can you unmute yourself?
I didn't hear you call my name.
So. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me, Judy. I saw your hand.
I don't know. Maybe it was a blip in the reception or something. Anyway, terrible, sorry.
Go ahead.
What does this higher 90 frequency mean for those of us who are already at that rate? I mean, I'm at 91. I mean, will I notice anything or?
For you, you may actually experience this as life being more in sync.
Okay. It feels like,
go ahead. No, please tell us your experience because that's what's important.
Actually, things have, in the last few months, have been moving too slowly for me, and I've been getting really frustrated. So I don't know, will it move up to where I think it should be now? It's just...
It might for you. It's humorous, though, that a person with a 91 frequency who's in a 90 frequency year, you know, they kind of cancel each other out and you experience this, a somewhat slower dragging. That's actually almost, if you forgive us, we don't mean that, you know, it's unfortunate for you, but that is a little humorous when you consider it, the way that it's acting like that. As far as what we see with you, you look like you're in a period of just... almost having too much time on your hands and almost too much freedom.
I don't have too much time on my hands. I have a lot to do, but things are more manageable than they were maybe a month or two ago. I mean, I was feeling overwhelmed in July, but that's because of, a big change in my life and I'm managing it better, but I got lots to do, but I'm okay with it.
Well said. If you're okay with it and it's manageable to you, because it doesn't show in your face that you have the same kind of at least mental clogging that most people. If anything, it looks like you would like to have more options be clearer to you, and be able to just act on them. Nan made a point that we were going to talk about earlier. That one of the things that adds to this chaos node is that all the outer astrological planets are in retrograde. And so many of them, and many of these are the deeper philosophical kind of sometimes instinctive, but oftentimes, non-visible, I guess you might say, trends in the human psyche. And so when they're in retrograde, it's all like they're stuck or on hold or in deep review. And in that regard, that's where, you look like you're not necessarily in deep review, but more like ready to move and yet no definitive place to go.
Yeah, things are not yeah, everybody else isn't moving with me. Or other things in the outside environment aren't moving. But also you said for aesthetic decisions, be best to put them off to the first of the year. Actually, I have many aesthetic decisions to make in the next couple months. So
well we said if they have to be made, and you are in a place that the choices are coming to have timelines, then make the decision and move on. Don't belabor it inside of yourself, because then you will be adding drag to your own forward motion. Okay. And that's an objective in yourself, is not to add. And we mean drag in the aeronautical sense of it's slowing yourself down with friction.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there is overwhelming choices out there. So yeah, I can't let those just hang me up and not let me make decisions.
All right, very good.
Yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome. Let's see, who, anyone else have questions? Do I see any hands? May I suggest that rather than actually physically raise your hand, so you're welcome to, given the way that I'm viewing the screen, try and honor the speaker. If you use the reactions button at the bottom of your screen, like you just saw a few people, you'll notice there is a raised hand feature there. So I see Karen Dewey, Karen, and then Joe. So Karen, what's your question? Excuse me.
So during the equinox, there was like a moment of perfect balance, and I usually meditate during those huge times, when there's great cosmic influence. And I had this huge transcendental experience, and I transcended the balance between the black and the white, the night and the day, the good and the evil, and I went to a higher level, and I saw the Archangel Michael. And is that who you channel? Because he gave me some indication that that the war in heaven is over, that the spiritual war between good and evil is an illusion, and that that once you transcend that on an individual level, you can overlay that into a cosmic collective conscious level, and then peace, the age of Aquarius, which has given us the belief and hope of peace, that will actually ensue. Does any of that make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, you were very clear in your statement. We'll just comment that the Archangel Michael is an angelic realm presence. Just because we share the use of the name Michael is the only coincidental part.
Oh, okay.
It is still a valid source. We don't in any way dismiss it. But we would agree with some of the things and recast some of the things that were said. First of all, believe it or not, good and evil are not spiritual concepts. They are physical plane concepts. And good and evil do exist here by virtue of the fact that when fear is ramped up to such an extreme that it becomes malicious and malignant, that by definition is what real evil is. Because then it justifies a human being who is totally cut off from their own humanity and the humanity of others to carry out anything at any time on anyone. That is our definition of evil. In the heavens, if you will, or in the other planes of existence, there are levels of duality and spiritual separation that do exist, because if you think of it, if you will, as stages of evolution of consciousness of the Tao. All of you, every one of you here, is metaphorically a cell of the Tao. Now, some of you recognize that as a very pantheistic statement, That, in other words, the Tao, which is what we call, what most people would think of as God, is everything. And the very process of going through evolution is also the Tao. And you are aspects of the Tao reduced to the micro level to interact with each other as if you were individuals. Remember, we use the phrase infinite diversity in infinite combination. And that's what creation is. And yet, at the experience of all that is, we can only tell you through use of this narrative that there is no division. But at this realm of consciousness, you are here to experience separation, division, not necessarily derisiveness, not necessarily destruction, not necessarily hostility, not necessarily violence, but all those are aspects of, and to the degree that human beings choose those to act out on is usually a function of what stage of collective awareness, or in the case of an individual, individual awareness, what we call soul age, they are. And humankind is collectively just in that shift between one entire paradigm of consciousness for the collective humanity into a new one. And when it goes into a new one, remember, it's new ground, it's new territory, it's unknown, it hasn't been created before. So that's why we call it emergent. It's being built. But all of you in this room are either, almost all of you are old souls, perhaps some mature, but no, none of those either. So maybe yourself. But even then, Karen, the whole point is that consciousness moves evolution forward. And the Tao experiences itself going through all of these choices and all these variations. So humanity can have a transformational experience. And instead of saying, turn this place into a paradise, it already was a paradise. Humanity can just finally start living it as a paradise rather than living this as a hell, which often humanity, when it's in that fear, when it's in that evil, makes for itself. Does any of that restatement of what you said land with you?
Yes, it does. But also, in the fourth dimensional evolutionary development, we go into the timeless state where past, present, and future all, you know, oscillate between, you know, there is no distinct line anymore. So I was just wondering if in that state, which most people have not yet evolved into, if the karmic debt is paid and the overlay onto the collective consciousness is, oh, it's just so hard to explain, but it's the purity and the, you know, the love basically over the fear. It's still in a timeless state where the past and the future and the present all kind of merges into one. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. It was a very intense vision, and you know, it was just a huge expansive moment for me.
And congratulations on that. We would characterize your vision and that transcendental experience you mentioned, for instance, as literally having what we call higher centered experience, that sixth and seventh chakra, but also that ability to step outside of the Homo sapien self and be present with it all. And that was a step forward in awareness for you. Some of your descriptions, by the way, we would just point out to say that some of the spiritual doctrines that you have studied over time have given, you know, very detailed and distinct descriptions of how the universe is, what planes of existence there are, and so forth. And in our teachings, we don't necessarily adopt or utilize or even have similar concepts, for instance. So, for instance, you actually, all humanity does exist in time space because that is what the physical plane is here for. Also, there's a tendency for many spiritual doctrines to perceive karma as some kind of punishment. And karma is not punishment. Karma is a mechanism. Karma is a mechanism that literally propels people, usually backing into karma vis-a-vis fear, which is an actual physical plane tool. The Tao enabled the physical plane with fear so human beings would have that yin-yang force of attraction, repulsion, of love and fear, of pleasure and pain, of success and failure, have all these dualities so that they would be in constant motion. And that motion is what provides the impetus for continuous and changing experiences. And it's through changing and continuous experiences that you have the definition of evolution. Whether you're talking about physical evolution, where you have adaptation of the physical forms of animals and humans too, even though humans haven't physically altered their appearance in over 200,000 years, you're the human then would have been the human body now is the human body then, probably a little bigger now on average than it was then. But nonetheless, still essentially the same. We're talking about spiritual evolution vis-a-vis soul age evolution. And soul age evolution is an expansion of not only awareness of all of what really is concurrently, but also of knowledge. And knowledge means that you have the capacity to interact with it. You know, humans split the atoms 75 years ago. I mean, that was a huge leap in evolutionary, both literal scientific advancement, but also consciousness, because the metaphors of the splitting of the atom are equally as impactful to spiritual awareness as the physical split of the atom was to society and the culture of the planet. So we just wanted to point those out. In no way are we denigrating anything that you believe or the way you describe things. We hope you please understand that. We're just saying we're offering a different narrative and a different language system with some different definitions. So we're just trying to give you some comparison and contrast. So I hope you don't mind, Karen, though. I am going to move on because there are other people.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question. It was excellent. And Joe Bates, you're next.
I have been interested in the frequency of 90 from the beginning of this year when I first read that it was going to rise to that point. Allegedly, I actually don't know what my frequency is and don't really care, but it's been rumored to be around 20 or 21 or 19 or something like that. I think that's what a couple of people have said.
We see you right around the low 20s, Joe. That's right.
Yeah. But my curiosity was, how is this 90 frequency going to impact on me? And it seemed like it would be kind of negative. But on the other hand, it really hasn't felt much different. I've not experienced any unusual circumstances or anything like that, and I don't feel agitated or uneasy with it. It just things seem to be occurring faster, a little faster, but it's not noticeably to me. So I just wanted to make that point. I've not experienced a much difference in that. Now the planets in retrograde, absolutely. That impacts me, but the actual frequency of 90 doesn't.
How would you say you're noticing the retrograde planets, Joe?
In typical ways, it sometimes on some days you feel Mercury is really, really, really in retrograde and spinning really fast. And other times it's not so bad, but it's a fairly typical ebb and flow. And this past month or so, where there have been so many, in opposition and retrogrades, that has not necessarily impacted me, but I can feel that it, like I turn on the computer and, it might or might not start. And there's nothing wrong with it. But, just odd things here and there.
So,
they're just pains in the butt rather than any real inconvenience or anything.
You know, as we mentioned earlier, the kind of things that these frequencies do don't necessarily always impact someone individually in what you might think of as a negative way. In some ways, you've carried it sort of like a rising of a wave of surf. And being the fact that you're in flow, you've managed to actually kind of carry this and use this artisan energy to actually be more engaged in some of your more, how should we say it, fun pastimes, both electronically and even musically. It's ramped up and sharpened your mind. If anything, we would say of you. And so having, used it that way, but, you're so rock solid in the trunk of your body, from your buttocks down to your legs, it would take hurricane force winds to bump you anywhere. A metaphor, but nonetheless, a one that we would use in your particular case, but that's where we see it with you. It's a wave and you're riding it on a kind of on a creative bent, but it's not stretching you or stressing you in the same way that other people have. Like for instance, what Gene has, who has a much higher frequency, and of course, Nan, by contrast, I saw something that come up in the chat there. She mentioned her own 21 frequency. And for her, because of many of the physical difficulties she's dealt with this life, it can hit her at that adrenal fatigue level. And, the outer planets, especially the Saturnian energy in her, can really kind of tense up her body, which drains her even further, just by contrast, Nan. Since you brought that up, I'm going to just mention that to you. In any case, individuality in this. And it'll be very interesting, because one of the things, Joe, we've seen you is we think that you've got just, like maybe a 1% Uranian in your body type. There's a little bit of the exotic body type in you, and Uranians often really like chaotic energy because it can feel like a fun disruption. Like, oh boy, there's a riot outside. Let's see what people are doing. There can be this combined bystander and feeder off of that. And in that regard, since Uranus is doing some interesting squares right now and some aspects, it has that disruption stuff. The fact that they're revisiting January 6th and they're trying to figure out the budget. Germany is just reorienting itself and California just reoriented itself and all these attempts at disruptions, that are being interjected are being, by the way, counterbalanced by some of the other off planets. They're trying to shake things up, but they're not shaking as much as they could or would. So anyway, just some extra information there. So we hope you don't mind, Joe, unless there's anything else you'd like.
Thank you, Steve.
You bet. We're going to move on to Phil Fauché and then Catherine Schwanger. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, hi. So you mentioned fear and evil, and it just brought to mind, I seem to be Geigering a lot of what's out there in terms of that fear. And I'm just wondering how you see that in the bigger picture. There's been some channeling that infinite souls, transcendental souls, maybe manifesting, and is that meant to address that? As that ramps up, it seems to be ramping up.
Oh yeah, I mean, as there are going to be a number of them, and one of the things we need to just say for everyone, because we're driving this point home, remember, folks, infinite souls are not messiahs, they are not saviors, they are not here to rescue anybody. They are here to maintain a vibration, bring intellectual and emotional, in other words, sixth and seventh chakra energy. As Catherine put it, that's a good word. They are catalysts in that, like a catalyst in a chemistry experiment, they allow chemicals to react in a certain way or new bonds to be formed. And so that metaphor is really appropriate. The problem that, you know, many have had is the, and we've seen it within our own teaching, that there are many who unconsciously are thinking infinite soul, you know, equaling some kind of force that's going to come in and almost like, you know, Kal-El from Krypton, right? And become Superman and, you know, wipe out all the bad guys and return, you know, the world to, goodness and the American way, et cetera, et cetera. And that's not what they are going to be here to do. As a matter of fact, like in their times, infinite souls are often not recognized in their times. Jesus was not recognized really in his time. Neither was the Buddha, even though Buddha lived longer and so had more notoriety and fame. Lao Tzu was a noble, so had, you know, but he only had access, or, you know, they had knowledge base of a small area of China. So, you know, these kind of messages and their kind of movements, are often even not recognized at the time. Now, because consciousness and knowledge and spiritual awareness is higher on this planet than it ever has, people are more likely to recognize them and be moved by the messages. There are several transcendental souls. This fellow Mugi, however it's pronounced, is a transcendental soul. Mother Mira is a transcendental soul. You know, we think Greta Thunberg right now, the young gal, is channeling a transcendental soul, and we believe that she is going to go through a transformation on her own and in public, and will move into channeling an infinite soul, higher moving centered energy, because she is an action oriented king. She gets things moving. Look at how she's done it, and she hasn't even turned 18 yet, or she just did, I think, actually, now that I changed my statement on that. But nonetheless, incredible energy. Well, those folks coming to the forefront will not necessarily lessen fear. They will counter it, because there are plenty of you who are feeling fear as well. You want to feel peace. You want to feel love. But you, as you said, Phil, and for those of you who have never heard us use the term Geiger before, it's a euphemism we use that means you become like a Geiger counter, a radiation detector, and that you become very sensitive empathically to the detection of other emotions. And Phil happens to be one of those empathic people that who can easily get triggered and fill up with that, unable to distinguish that which is outside of him from that which is within him. So, and a person can then easily become overwhelmed by that. And in fact, much of the human race does. If you're feeling it, where naturally do you assume it's coming from? From yourself. The idea is an advanced psychological and even spiritual precept that a person can resonate to someone else, actually have it ring in their own body, but it not be started in their own body. In other words, that you become like, for those of you who have ever been, had the fun experience of being like the famed crystal bowls now, if you're in a room with a few of those, you tap one of those and several other bowls in the room will also resonate because they are sharing a harmonic vibration. And so that's what happens with human beings. That's how you get empathy. That is how you get, and then from there, mentally, you can get compassion, because compassion is an understanding of emotions and having a sense of mercy towards someone else in them. But that doesn't mean, you know, sympathy or necessarily letting them off the hook for their accountability. So in any case, the infinite souls that will be coming, you know, are coming in really right now. The 2020s is when they were first predicted. We have yet to really see them, you know, the ones start gaining notoriety that's at least through this channel that we can name. Some other of our channels have detected them and have been able to assign them, other than, again, you know, predicting Greta Thunberg. But so having said that, Phil, does that address some of your question or your issue, or you want to?
Yeah, it does. And thank you for mentioning that it's hard to tell the difference sometimes what you're Geigering out there and but does seem like it's your own. So yes. Something I have to remember. Yeah.
Yes, of course. Of course. It's and it's a natural. In a way, it shows a degree of self-responsibility, but the ego can only, you know, and remember, the ego in our use of the term is not a bad word. The ego is just your animal self. And if the animal self is having fear run through it, it's going to assume that it's, you know, it's inside of it. And it's going to try and do something. The higher consciousness part of you, the essence part of you, the soul part of you, the part that has a mind can say, oh, I'm feeling fear. Fear is around me. How much of this is mine? And you can, the minute you ask that question, ladies and gentlemen, your essence can then, Moogi, I believe, is M-O-O-G-I. Anyway, you can ask yourself, and then you can bring in essence, and essence can at least lessen the degree of fear that is not your own. It can give it almost like a percentage. And some of you know that we use a device to quantify emotion. You know, we use a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 you'd be full, and for one, you're virtually empty. You can't be zero, because if you're zero, you're dead. That means you have no, you know, there's no life force running through you. But we're talking about outside invasive energy. You can also have a level 10 of passion, a level 10 of joy. You can also have a level 10 of hatred, anger, shame, fear, anything. It's just a quantification tool. So anyway. So, Phil, thank you for that question. Any follow-up, or are you complete?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, very good. Catherine Schwanger next.
I'm wondering whether my answer's already been received by what you've said to Phil or what you've said to Jean, whether I've been experiencing a lot of reaction to the frequency levels, or is it other people's fear energies? But I've been dealing with a surprising amount of physical pain.
Yeah.
More so than I've ever felt in a long time.
Yeah.
Connective tissues, eyes, back, skeletal. Yeah. So I'd be curious about the source of that.
Your electrical field. Your electrical field is really amplified. And it's coming through you as physical pain. And a lot of it for you is because, you know, the sensitivity of your body, for one thing, but also you have, it's an interesting way, even though, you know, stubbornness is not necessarily a primary chief feature for you, you are bound and determined not to be negative. So what happens is since you don't let yourself...
Spiritualist attitude.
I mean, spiritualist attitude, yeah.
Spiritualist attitude.
So in an effort not to be, you know, quote, negative, as it were, you almost refuse access to allowing that to run through you. And it gets stuck in your nervous system. And your nervous system goes for the most... can't help but find the most sensitive aspects of your physiology, which are the pain centers, and you're having them now. You have been really, you have been allowing yourself more and more some anger to be, you know, you've often processed your anger very effectively into action and into determination. But right now, it's not working. Frankly, dear, we would say to you, it's okay if you have nice big cries when you're really in a lot of pain. And literally just, you know, to give yourself permission to have those moments of sob for compassion to self, of just how debilitating it can be for you. And right now we see you in a lot of debilitating. And of course it's amplified because, you know, with Neptune, it can affect a lot of your glandular issues. Your kidneys can be affected by Uranus. Your eyes can be affected by Pluto, in your bones and your connective tissue by Saturn. All of them are all wonky right now anyway, and in wrestling with each other. So those things, you know, we feel for you, my dear. And we want you to know you are in every bit of deservedness to give yourself an even break beyond your logical mind, and even in the sense of sadness of being overridden by it at times. Oh, did she freeze? I think she froze. Okay. Well, Catherine, if you did freeze, we'll come back to you. Oh, there you are. Okay, you're unfroze.
Okay. I missed what you said. I broke out about when you're talking about eyes. I didn't get after that. Oh,
we said that the eyes can be affected by Pluto energy, particularly not wanting to see, you know, especially on, especially the future eye, you know, the prescient predictive eye, especially if you sense disaster in the works. Anyway, so one of the things we said is we really want you to know that we love you and we have empathy for you right now. And we hope you can you're good at giving yourself logical self-care. You are excellent at self-care. Now the one part in that is to allow yourself that little bit of self-breakdown, of, you know, feeling the sadness, feeling the sorrow, feeling the tears that you often strive to, you know, keep yourself above. So, you know, you can sally forth and tally-ho and keep going.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Jillian, Elliot.
Thanks. I feel a lot of the exhaustion, but I'm looking at this and I'm listening and feeling like, okay, are we galloping somewhere? Are we just on a hamster wheel?
Because good news. You are galloping and forward. You're just dragging a lot of dead corpses. Who are tripping up the horse's hind legs.
Okay. Because there have been so many times where I just feel like throwing in the towel on this, but it does. It's like I look at the political thing, I look at the people around me, and we're all feeling, I think most of the people that I talk with are just feeling like I am spent.
Yeah.
I am completely spent, and I don't know if I'm getting anywhere for all the energy I'm putting out.
Yeah, so good. So then we will reassure you that the compassion fatigue, the physical adrenal fatigue, and the decision fatigue that we talked about leads to this overall level of exhaustion, and you in submission who's used to carrying around a kind of a ball and chain, you know, either dragging it or lifting it on your shoulder like Charles Atlas. Or I should say, not Charles Atlas, the Atlas. Anyway, you know, for you to reach this is not really uncommon for you. You've been at crossroads like this before. But the world is moving in a mature soul direction. Are all the old players who have all the, what's the word we want to say, you know, all the stakes in the ground, while you're trying to move forward, pulling them out, right? You know, they have them still there. And so it's a slow process. But yes, there is motion being made. There is headway being made. Having said that, you know, what we've also mentioned before, Jillian, I think to you specifically at times, but also to other people in answer to their questions, you know, the unfortunate thing is the climate change situation it still is a ramped up cumulative effect that has not even begun to reach its high point. So it may seem on that level that the actual climate is getting worse, and it is. What is starting to make some headway is action toward mitigating it. I mean, and one of the ones is that nobody in the world denies anymore, or is considered credible anymore, denying climate change. They're just dismissed out of the equation. And that is actually positive forward motion. Considering some of the liars and deniers that are in this world who have so much self-interest, invested in, you know, their old either fossil fuel industries or their old ways of being, their patriarchies, whether they're political or religious or what have you, who like their blinders and so forth, even they can't escape it because it's affecting them. And they can't deny it either. And they don't, you know, they just, you know, try and keep the brakes on as long as they can for, you know, as much as they can. So, but there is forward motion.
When it was announced this week that there were 25 new additions to the list of extinctions,
yeah.
I don't know. It's just,
it's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. And, I wonder if people are actually ever going to do anything about it.
Unfortunately, we would say that everyone, many of the people we see, don't tend to change until they have pain. Now, people don't need to have to make change on pain only. People can make change and do when they really, really want something. But usually when their comforts and their sense of identities are attached into something that is solid and stable, or that they hold on to dearly, which is, you know, talk about then the majority of baby souls and a large percentage of young souls, by the way, still a good number of mature and old souls too. Don't change, don't move until it's painful. And then they have to.
Didn't Michael say something? If we could choose to learn from joy.
Absolutely.
But if we choose not to learn from joy, we often choose to learn from pain.
That's right. Well, because the Tao created this place to default to pain if people didn't learn to evolve through joy. Evolution will not be denied. And the Tao just put this dualistic mechanism in place, pleasure and pain, you know, love and fear, and said, okay, you choose. See, this is a place of choice, but you don't always have every single option available to you. And that's what people get afraid of. And a matter of fact, most of the people who are squawking right now, my freedom, they don't have the options available to them. They're being taught that song from outside themselves to distract them from the fact that their real freedoms is the chance to make a decision to do something differently. Not just dig their heels in and keep doing what they're doing, or more specifically, not doing what they're doing. So, and in that regard, that's why we said in the beginning of this pandemic last year that the way that people will get it is if they have an experience of this disease. And the experience of this disease either is they get it somebody they know gets it, somebody they know dies from it, you know, or they're in a situation where now it's shifted. And of course, you see large governmental bodies across the earth saying, you don't get a vaccination, you don't work here. You don't get a vaccination, you know, you can't go into these places. And of course, they're squawking, oh, my freedom. And yet nobody seems to look at the idea and compare, well, you know, you think these other people are impinging your freedom. Are they taking your life? Are they preventing you from getting medical attention? No. So if you get sick, you can still get it, even though the healthcare system is overwhelmed because there are so many people who are sick. But also, you're willing to take away a woman's right to choose, for instance, which affects only them. And they don't see that dichotomy at all because they're still in the animal ego part of self and operating from that premise. And that's part of the mature soul era that needs to be entered into. There is nothing, we're not talking about moral decisions here about whose rights, you know, one has or hasn't. It's coming to the consistency of mental evaluation that our decisions being based on hypocritical premises, or are they consistent with each other? And right now, so many of humans' moral structures are hypocrisies. They're duplicitous. And when those start to fall apart, people panic. They get afraid. What am I supposed to believe in then? Well, start off by what's right in front of you. Are you eating? Are you breathing? Are you still alive? Do you have somebody you can rely on? Are you in a house? Do you have enough food to eat? Are there anybody shooting at your door? Is there water coming out of your faucet? Or do you have to go out to, you know, a local truck like they do in almost on all of sub-Saharan Africa to get water because it's been either so fouled or so dried because of the climate change or because of human pollution, usually by Western companies going in and destroying their ecosystems. Same thing is happening to a lesser degree, but still it's starting to work that way in South America. Now, can humans make these choices? And the answer is yes, they can, and many are. But like anything that requires momentum, you have to get enough choices on that side of the scales. If many of you recall, we used the scales as an active symbol when we talked about the mature soul era. Making more choices on that side of the scale and more people being on that side of the scale, making more choices more often. And then it begins to pick up speed and so forth. And it is. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think on that note, we will call that complete for tonight. And we will say thank you all for being here. Appreciate your inputs and appreciate your attention. And as always, we send you our love and wish for you that this has been of use. Good night, everyone. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Steve. Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Take care, everyone.